Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on a Thursday. Let's play ball. Do I have everybody's attention? Todd?
Let's play ball.
All righty. Yeah. Baseball, reopening day. Got some weather issues for a couple of teams. Their games have already been postponed. We'll talk to the great reporter Jeff Passan, who will join us coming up. I have a few questions. At what point does Mike Trout say to the Angels, I think I need a change of scenery? Or at what point do the Angels say to Mike Trout, do you need a change of scenery? And also the Oakland A's, how awkward is this going to be? They're still trying to find a temporary home before they find their new home while still being in their old home. So we'll talk some baseball with Jeff Passan coming up here in a little bit. Christian Laettner, former Duke star, Olympic champion, dream teamer, NBA player, but not in the Basketball Hall of Fame, I don't think. Paulie, did you check that this morning?
I can find he's not in the Basketball Hall of Fame as an individual, you know, like any other person would be. The Dream Team's in the Hall of Fame as a group, but that has nothing to do really with Christian Laettner. He's still eligible on his own.
How is he not in the Basketball Hall of Fame? He's one of the five most decorated, greatest college players of all time. Like, you can't argue with the resume. And it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's like if you had just a Football Hall of Fame, not a Pro Football Hall of Fame, Tim Tebow would be in. Herschel Walker would be in. Christian Laettner should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yes, Marvin.
Tim Tebow? And just the Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
If we're just going College Football Hall of Fame, yes.
No, it's if they had football the way they do basketball, then it's what you do in college and or the pros.
What did he do in the pros?
Well, that doesn't matter. It's what he did in college. Mike Krzyzewski never coached in the NBA. Bob Knight never did. It's what they did in college that would put you into the Basketball Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame. I mean, Tim Tebow didn't do anything in the NFL, so he's not getting in because of that. But if I take him with his college resume, I mean, Johnny Manziel might get in. Heisman Trophy winner, he might get into the Hall of Fame. But Christian Laettner should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, you have international players, you have coaches in there, executives in there. Christian Laettner should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yeah, Paul?
And I double-checked. He's eligible. He's been out of the game for five or more years. You know, they have coaches, players, referees. There's nothing about, you know, your pro or college career. It's very undefined.
It was on this date in 1992, Christian Laettner hit a 15-foot turnaround jumper at the buzzer, giving Duke a one-point overtime win over Kentucky. And one of the more controversial games of his career. Well, the most controversial game. 10 for 10 from the floor, 10 for 10 from the line, scoring 31 points. So Laettner will join us coming up next hour. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our radio partners, those chatting on Chat Row. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. You can follow along with the Celebrity Bracket Challenge powered by NetSuite. It's available at foxsportsradio.com because we have basketball coming up tonight. Clemson, Arizona, San Diego State, UConn, Alabama against North Carolina, Illinois against Iowa State. Operator standing by. Tyler, we'll take your phone calls at 877-3DP-SHOW. When we talk about the best time of the year, a lot of times we'll look at maybe September, October, or March or April. And here we are, Major League Baseball opening up, and March Madness still going on. We get to the Sweet 16. Now we get some real competitive basketball. The NFL draft a little under a month away. And now you're having pro days. You had Malik Nabers with Jaden Daniels at LSU yesterday. Drake May and Michael Penix Jr. expected to have their pro days soon. Those types of workouts can propel somebody a little bit higher in the draft. For instance, Zach Wilson. So we get to sit back and enjoy all of this. And you don't get this much diversity as far as sports goes in a single week. All right, what's poll question we're going to go with today, Seton?
We got a few of them. We could go with better time of year, September, October, March, April.
Okay.
Just based off of what you were just saying. Okay. That could be fun.
Okay.
Paul sent one over, sort of random. Would you rather have a solid 10-year career as a baseball player, basketball player, or football player? MLB, yeah. NBA, NFL.
Okay. Yes, Paul.
My rationale for that, even though football is by far my favorite sport to watch and enjoy, I think as a lifestyle, I think I would choose a 10-year career as a good baseball player. When you leave the sport, you're probably not racked with injuries. You get to play more than practice. It's all playing. And, you know, not, the travel's a little tough, but the lifestyle, it seems fun being a baseball player. You're not playing.
And it seems so mundane and boring and tedious. Yep.
But you get to play baseball every day as opposed to meetings and practice and lifting weights.
Yeah, but it just, it's the same thing. It's 162 games. Yeah, Seton.
So I would kind of use the same, mostly the same rationale or logic, but for an NBA player. I feel like lifestyle-wise, NBA is great. Yeah. Not nearly as long a season. You're going to different cities. You're sort of in and out. You're making a great living. You have a hell of a union.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I would say NBA, it's 82 games. I can have load management. What other sport do you get load management? We're okay with it. Maybe I play 65 games, maybe, and get a good living. Yes, Marvin.
And what if your team is sorry? If you're an NBA player, the season's over mid-April. You don't go back until September. So you get the whole summer off, and then some. You're still making $25, $30 million a year.
Yeah, but the Pistons season and the Spurs season and the Wizards season has been over long before that.
I mean, officially.
Yes. Yeah. Unofficially, it's been over. Unofficially. By the way, this first hour brought to you by TireRack.com, the official tire expert of the Dan Patrick Show. Used them a couple of times. Great people. TireRack.com/Dan. The Tire Decision Guide, full lineup of BF Goodrich tires, special offers, free road hazard protection, mobile tire installation, TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. So Christian Laettner enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame as a member of the Dream Team. He's the only player from the Dream Team who hasn't been inducted into the Hall of Fame individually. So officially, he's not in. Technically, he's in. Officially, he's not in. Yes, Paul?
It'd be like Dave Grohl getting in for Nirvana, but not on his own, like if he went solo.
Okay. So Christian Laettner is the Dave Grohl.
Yeah, everyone's using that comparison. Okay. They have lifted that.
Okay. Thought you might have gone Travis Barker on me, but okay. Fine with that. No problems with that. By the way, I was watching some basketball last night, and I was watching Golden State because these are really important games. Phoenix and Golden State. Houston's playing really well. Denver lost to the Suns last night. And I'm watching Golden State. So they're just starting against Orlando. And all of a sudden, this happens.
The other side, Draymond is chasing the officials to the middle of the floor. And at some point, somebody's going to come in. Oh, he threw him out. He did it. I'm glad we didn't go to break. Ray Acosta, not here for it. Hit the road, Jack.
So that's courtesy of the game in Orlando. Draymond got thrown out. What was the score? 6-4? Something like that? And you see Steph Curry really emotional with this. Like he's despondent. He's upset. He pulls his jersey over his face. It looks like he's wiping away tears. And then Steph Curry was asked about Draymond getting ejected.
What did you think of the Draymond ejection? All I said is we need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, and be available, that's what's got to happen. Especially at this point in the year. So tough way to start the game.
I don't know if it's Steph's responsibility to keep Draymond on the floor. They created this monster, and now they have to live with this monster. This is on Steve Kerr. They've enabled Draymond. You know, Draymond can act like a fool sometimes on the floor. I mean, he's a wonderful basketball player when he wants to be, or at least he used to be. And he's really a high basketball IQ. I just don't know why he can't all of a sudden get in these moments and go, Draymond, no, don't. But he can't. But really, during the regular season, how often do we talk about Draymond Green? Only when he does something like this. Maybe in the postseason, when he plays well, we've talked about him. In the Boston series, I thought he was, you know, out of control, and then he finally started to play like Draymond Green. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer. At some point, it's on Draymond Green. The Warriors created this. Now, all of a sudden, you can't go, Draymond. When he's playing well, you put up with this. I mean, go back to when he punched Jordan Poole. How many players, coaches, assistant coaches, trainers, anybody ran to Draymond Green and grabbed him as if to say, what did you just do? No one did. No one. I mean, look at Steph Curry there. He's just like, all right. As if Jordan had it coming and no big deal here. And that affected the Golden State Warriors last year. But you can't sit here and go, oh my God. Like, I'm not surprised when Draymond does this stuff. But it's unfortunate because now they did win the game because of Steph Curry. But they're not good enough. They just can't turn it on and off the way they used to. I mean, it's a dynasty that is holding on by its fingertips here. Are they dangerous? Yeah. Sometimes they're dangerous to themselves. But you're watching that, you just go, does anybody say to Draymond, you got to stop this? Can they keep him next year? I don't know how easy it would be to move on from him. And there's teams that would probably want him. Like, you could put him in Miami. You could put him with the Phoenix Suns. Like, he's going to give you something. It's just, you got to be ready. And you have to have somebody who is going to monitor him. It just feels like Draymond is being, hey, that's just Draymond being Draymond. Yes. When he plays well, there's a sliding scale. Hey, man, you're a lot of trouble. You're worth it. And then all of a sudden, you're a lot of trouble. You're not worth it. And do you want to sign up? I mean, what's Golden State do? You know? And Steph is an older basketball player. He looks young. He's not. Klay Thompson's not the same. Now, they do have some reserves. You know, they survived the James Wiseman bad pick. But now you look at the future there. Steve Kerr signed up for a few more years. But they're not as threatening. Can they win back-to-back games in the playoffs? If they're in the play-in game. I guess because of Steph and that's it. But watching last night, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. It's 6-4. Like, you get tangled up and you got your arm around somebody's neck. And I go, 96-94, not 6-4. But that's what we saw last night. Also, there was a moment with the 76ers. Kelly Oubre, the Sixers forward, he got tossed last night. And he was pointing at officials saying, basically, bleep you, bleep you, bleep you. And then he was asked about it afterwards.
Without trying to put you in a bad spot, how do you try to break down and digest the last few minutes of that game?
Well, first and foremost, heated a moment. This is an intense basketball game, of course. And, you know, we're not perfect. The refs aren't perfect. I want to apologize for just losing my cool, because that's something I try to work on each and every day and try to represent God in the best way I possibly can, and that wasn't it. So, you know, I just ask for forgiveness. But I saw Coach Nurse getting riled up, and if our coach is going to fight for us and, you know, he's going there, then I'm right behind him. So, but at the end of the day, it wasn't cool. So, you know, I'll take whatever penalties come with that and, you know, just have to move on. But I got to be better in a sense.
Now, he's 6 years younger than Draymond Green, but he certainly sounds like, hey, I made a mistake in the moment. I apologize. Draymond's never done that. and never will do that. Clippers beat the Sixers 108-107, but it was one of those moments where you're going, somebody better grab a hold of Kelly Oubre, because this is going to be a larger fine than he expects. But maybe it, you know, he's doing some damage control there by apologizing, and nobody's perfect, and the officials and all of those things. But yeah, a couple of moments last night, the Denver game, Denver at home losing to the Phoenix Suns. The Knicks blow out the Raptors, and the Rockets have won 10 in a row. They beat the Thunder last night in overtime. So some interesting moments, but keep an eye on the Phoenix Suns because they have one of the toughest schedules as far as winning percentage-wise in a long, long time. In fact, if you go back to Memphis in 2015, nobody has had a more difficult final 10 games of the season, at least percentage-wise, winning percentage-wise of the teams they're going to face, than Memphis did in 2015-2016.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
All right, Jeff Passan will join us. We'll get you ready for opening day. Also, the situation with Shohei Ohtani, what is next, and also the Oakland A's future, Mike Trout's future, teams to watch, his picks for the World Series. So Passan will join us coming up here in a little bit. Also, your phone calls, settle on a poll question, and we'll talk about Jaden Daniels' pro day and why it was different than Caleb Williams. We'll have that for you coming up. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip. Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Jeff Passan of the Mothership. You can see him today, all day, all night, and opening night of baseball here. And then you have the Rangers hosting the Cubs at 7:30 Eastern, the exclusive national presentation. Great to have you back on, Jeff. Let me start with the Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani and any updates or anything that you expect here in the next couple of days.
This is going to be a while, Dan. And it's going to be a while, I think, because we have to understand what the investigations going on into this situation are. Number one, there is a federal investigation into the bookmaking operation that allegedly was taking place in Southern California. And, Shohei Ohtani is like a tiny little speck of a much more sprawling look into what was going on. And because he's Shohei Ohtani and because of the salaciousness of the allegations, it feels like he's a much bigger part of that. But in reality, this case is so big, it could take a while yet for there to be resolution there. And Major League Baseball at the same time, generally speaking, its investigation tends to align, at least when being wrapped up, with the larger criminal investigations that are going on. And if the criminal investigation is not going to be wrapped up for a long time, chances are Major League Baseball's is not going to either, unless there is clear and obvious establishment of Shohei Ohtani's version of the story that we've heard so far, which is that Ipe Mitsuhara, his interpreter, stole $4.5+ million from him to pay off gambling debts. Now, one thing we still do not know is who Ohtani's camp reached out to in terms of law enforcement official to say, hey, this guy stole $4.5 million, start looking into it and start looking into charges. And not only do we not know it, but when our reporters, Tisha Thompson and Paul Levine, are asking Ohtani's camp, they're saying, we're not going to tell you anything. And so it's a missing piece, Dan, that would go a really long way, I think, to validating Ohtani's story. Right now, we have his version of the story, and logically, a fair bit of it makes sense. But there are also questions that are unanswered. And when you have unanswered questions and the story changing like it did at the beginning, there's going to be skepticism and cynicism about the version that he's telling.
When's the last time you remember a team that it was World Series or bust, like the Dodgers?
Last year with the Dodgers. Like every year with the Dodgers.
But it's more so this year.
Every year with them, I really do, because they put these mega teams together, that's what they are. And they don't, I'm sorry, Dan, they don't put teams together to go win the NL West. They don't put teams together to go win the National League pennant. If they don't win the World Series, it's a disappointing season, because they've got Mookie Betts, who is still in his prime, isn't always going to be. They've got Freddie Freeman, who's still in his prime, isn't always going to be. And yeah, they added Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Tyler Glasnow and Teoscar Hernandez, and turned a team that had World Series aspirations into a team with maybe like a little more World Series aspirations. So I understand what you're saying, but I look at the Atlanta Braves too. Like, let's consider the window that they're in right now, when they have this incredible core of players, and they've got Chris Sale coming over, a guy who's no spring chicken, and Charlie Morton, who in all likelihood is going to be retiring after this season. Things are going to change for them too. So are they World Series or bust? I would suggest that yes, they're in the same boat that the Dodgers are.
Couple other things before I get to Baseball Today. The Oakland A's situation. How awkward is this that they're trying to find, what, a temporary home before they get to their new permanent home, but they still have their old home?
Yeah. Imagine the most awkward situation that you've ever been in, and then multiply it by 10, and it's still not as awkward as the A's being in Oakland. The A's essentially have said to the city of Oakland, we don't want to be here. And that is against the backdrop of all of these players playing in this awful stadium, and fans feeling like this isn't even our team anymore. And so you're going to have an empty stadium. You're going to have a city in Las Vegas that maybe doesn't want them, because why would you want a team owned by someone in John Fisher who is so willing to gut the franchise to the point that it's major league? And now, granted, the A's on the field this year, Dan, are not going to be nearly as bad as they were last year. They may not be the worst team in the American League, but they're still going to stink. And it's like you have 29 Major League Baseball franchises and one team that's called the Major League Baseball franchise, but is run like the worst minor league outfit you've ever seen.
But is there a record for the fewest number of fans to go watch a team, their home games? I don't know if somebody... Paulie, did the A's set the all-time record last year?
We're checking. They had 832,000 on the season. They averaged 10,000 a game. In comparison, the Dodgers had 3.8 million people show up.
Yeah. That's definitely not the lowest that it's been, but we may see it this year.
Yeah, that's true. Mike Trout, I think, is turning 33. At what point does Mike Trout say, maybe I need to have a change of scenery, or when do the Angels say, are you thinking about a change of scenery?
It's a really good question. Like, there are a few things every spring that I try to go to because they're interesting or because they're going to be particularly newsworthy. And Mike Trout's first media availability this year was high on that list because, you know, I wanted to ask him that same question. Like, how much longer can you oblige?
Yeah.
How much longer are you going to stay with a team that you've been to the playoffs with one time in your illustrious career? And that one time you got swept out by the Kansas City Royals. Like, that's the wildest part of Mike Trout's career. He's one of the, you know, one of the 5 to 10 best players that we've ever seen, and he still hasn't won a playoff game. And, you know, the clock is ticking now. He's not going to be getting a whole lot better in his mid to late 30s. And I think he desperately wants to be somewhere where he can win, but there's that tug of loyalty too, Dan. Like, he's been an Angel his entire career. And if he's going to win, he wants it to be with that organization. But the question is, can that organization win with Artie Moreno owning the team and making the decisions that get in the way of its ability to do so? They've got some really interesting young players. I think Logan Ohapi, their catcher, is going to be really good. Zach Neto, their shortstop. Nolan Shanuel at first base. Like, they've got some guys, but do they have enough in that division? Not even close, because the American League West is nasty this year. The Texas Rangers won the World Series last year. The Houston Astros have been to 7 consecutive American League Championship Series. And I think the Seattle Mariners have the best rotation in baseball. You've got all these teams around. And then the Angels, who have gutted their farm system, have not spent intelligently at the major league level, and couldn't win when they had arguably the two best players in the entire game there at the same time for a 6-year period. So what suggests that they're going to be doing it now?
Talking to Jeff Passan of the Mothership, ESPN has the national presentation of opening night. It'll be the Rangers and the Cubs at 7:30 Eastern. All right. If not the Dodgers or Braves in the National League, then who?
there's a really good argument to be made that the Phillies are a better team, or at least a better playoff team, when you've got Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola at the top of a rotation, and a team that has not just the hitting depth that they do, their bullpen's really, really good. And so I like, it's a do not sleep on this bullpen good group. And so I think Philadelphia is probably the obvious answer. What about Arizona, though? Like, let's not forget, they made it to the World Series last year. And then they go out and add Jordan Montgomery. They add Eduardo Rodriguez. They bring back Lourdes Gurriel. They bring in Jock Peterson and Randall Grichuk. Like,
were they a great story or a great team?
They were a great team in October, Dan. And the in October caveat is important. And I think it speaks to the sport of baseball right now. I don't give a damn what you did between April and September. If you played better in October than someone else, the way that baseball is, you can be wafted in glory forever. All it takes is one really good hot month. And that's what the Diamondbacks had. Mm-hmm. So even if they were a mediocre to slightly above average team during the regular season, I remember doing a story in the World Series about just toward the end, like, five games in, how clean it had been. Like, the amount of incredible defensive plays that Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks made in the World Series made it an extremely enjoyable series to watch, even if it was only five games. Like, there was good ball being played. And the Diamondbacks adding those two starting pitchers that I mentioned on top of Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, and you know, capping that rotation with Brandon Pfaadt, who in the World Series was really good. Like, it's a formidable roster, and I'm excited to see year two of the Corbin Carroll show. I think he's got a chance to be a top five MVP guy this year after winning Rookie of the Year and being in the mix last year, and I think he's going to be even better this season than he was.
The American League, Rangers defending champs, Astros always get there, Yankees... Yankees brought in some talent. So if it's not, you're not quite all in on the Yankees there?
I'm not there on the Yankees right now.
All right.
The Garrett Cole injury is an absolute killer. And yes, they added Marcus Stroman to their rotation. And sure, like, Luis Gil looked great in spring training. But I worry that they're too old. I worry that they are injury prone, and they lost the best pitcher in Major League Baseball for at least 2 months to an elbow injury that, you know, if we're just assuming it's going to heal, I've known elbows for too long to know that they do not heal on a schedule. Like, I've just seen it too many times where you assume a guy is going to be back at a particular point. This is not a soft tissue injury. You know, this is nerve, and this is ulnar collateral ligament. And these are things that when you try and put them on a schedule, laugh at you. So if they get Garrett Cole back and get him back healthy and back at the level that he's been at, and if Carlos Rodon can pitch to his contract, then yeah, they're going to be in the mix. I still do not think they're as good as the Orioles, Dan.
We were talking about this the other day with how tough it's going to be for Hall of Fame voters looking at starting pitchers moving forward, because Verlander's a Hall of Famer. Kershaw is a Hall. I mean, there's only
Scherzer.
Scherzer's a Hall of Famer.
Those are the three.
But after that, is there a starting pitcher currently in baseball who you could see is on the projection to be a Hall of Famer?
I mean, I think Cole is probably in the mix. I think Zach Wheeler is putting himself into the mix. I think if Jacob deGrom hadn't been hurt, he's got, you know, the two Cy Youngs. But his career feels more Lincecum-y right now than it does Hall of Fame. And, you know, he's going to be...
But aren't we adjusting our numbers of, like, you...
Oh, 100%.
Get to 200 wins? That's not going to happen with these younger guys.
I mean, you have to adjust your numbers. And in the same way, I think that voters now, Dan, take into account something like on-base percentage more than they did in the past. I think we're smarter as a collective when it comes to Hall of Fame voting in terms of figuring out what's right, but also contextualizing it throughout generations. And if you hold starting pitchers who pitched in the 2010s and 2020s to the same sorts of standards that guys used to have, you're literally not going to have a single pitcher who goes in the Hall of Fame from this generation. Like, you're just not, because it's a different job and it's a different game. And it's, you know, I think it stinks. I don't like that this is where starting pitching has gone. It's my biggest pet peeve about baseball these days, that you took this group of players who collectively take up half of the sport, and you essentially said, we are not going to allow you to be a star because you're not going to go more than five or six innings. And that I think has been detrimental to the game. And it's problematic going forward, and something that whether it's through active rule changes or something a little bit more passive at the youth level, where they start emphasizing going deeper into games rather than throwing really hard. You know, it's just a priority that the sport hasn't put at the forefront, and it's been detrimental to the game accordingly.
Yeah, it's almost like if I'm a pitcher, a young pitcher, I want to be a closer than I do a starter, because I probably have a better chance there of being a star, maybe making a lot of money and having, I don't know, if you want to pitch five innings, that's great, but you might have a shift.
I still think like my kid's a pitcher. And he wants to be the ace. You know, there's still something among players about starting. It's just that they don't look at what their duty is the same way that they have in the past. If you get through five or six innings, you've done your job.
Yeah, but would you rather start a game or close a game? I'd rather close a game. In today's baseball, I'd rather close a game.
That's really interesting, because you get paid $15 million for one inning of work.
Yes.
Like, because you get to sit in the clubhouse until the sixth inning and then meander. Yeah. It's a better job. You're right about that. Like, it's a much better job, but would you, you know, you're a star, Dan.
Thank you.
Like, you are. And I feel like you'd want to be on the mound at the beginning of the game rather than.
Yeah, but if I'm only going five and a half, then no.
Okay. That's fair.
I want to be the guy who shuts you down, and then all of a sudden everybody comes out and congratulates me, and then, you know, I walk off heroes. Well,
what kind of closer would you be? Would you be the closer who over time just got fatter and fatter and just embraced the? No, I'm not saying you have gotten. You look fantastic, but I'm saying I feel like you would embrace the lifestyle of the closer, where you would be the guy who, you know, was drinking beers after the game and having snacks and sitting in the bullpen and flicking seeds. Like,
I would
if
be
you're going to beat
Goose Gossage.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to be a closer, like, go full send on your closer.
Yes. I'm going to tell you what I'm throwing, and I'm going to see if you can hit it.
And they can't, because you're Dan Patrick. Yeah,
absolutely.
Baby.
Thank you, Jeff. Hey, have a great day. Always great to catch up with you.
Take it easy, buddy. Happy opening day, everyone.
That's Jeff Passan of the Mothership, ESPN opening night. You have the World Series champion Rangers hosting the Cubs, 7:30 Eastern. Play of the day is next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Yokohama tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Yokohama test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be. 13 baseball games scheduled. Basketball tonight, Clemson, Arizona, San Diego State, Connecticut, Alabama, North Carolina, Illinois, Iowa State. Bama's been in the Sweet 16 three of the last 4 years. Like you're looking at, I said, oh, here's the playoffs. You go, oh, that's football. Clemson's in there. Alabama's in there. Well, UConn in there, so it wouldn't be, you know, football. But Illinois, Iowa State, Arizona also in the Sweet 16, games coming up tonight. I'll reiterate this. I've said this twice and let it sink in. In 2010, Christian Laettner enshrined in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, a member of the 1992 Dream Team. But Christian is the only player of that team who hasn't been inducted into the Hall of Fame individually. And Christian Laettner joins us on the program. Why is that?
Dan, is that you?
Yes, it is, Christian.
It's me. I know we're looking different, you know, these days, but good to see you.
Good to see you. Why aren't you in the Hall of Fame for your playing career?
Who knows? I don't really think about it that much. I'm in plenty of Hall of Fames, and the one I may be most proud of is the Polish Hall of Fame, so I'm fine.
What did you get for the Polish Hall of Fame, and is Krzyzewski in the Polish Hall of Fame?
I mean, I'm pretty sure he is. He better be. I think he is. I got a nice trip up to, I think it was in Detroit, and we had a nice banquet and maybe a trophy or some type of medal. And it was a great time. My family was able to join me because they're proud Polacks.
No, but I'm serious. Why you're not in the Basketball Hall of Fame? And because people will have to understand it's what you did in college and or the pros, and you were one of the 5 or 10 greatest college players of all time. Your resume shows that, and you had a sustained pro career. So I'm curious. I know you might not care, but I just from somebody covering the sport, you should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate you saying that. And every time you mention it, some of my friends text me and say, Dan Patrick's, you know, doing it again. And I don't commit any thought to it.
Okay.
I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. It might happen someday. And life goes on.
Were you there when the Dream Team went in, the 2010 enshrinement?
Yes, I was there.
What was that like? How much smack talk was going on?
It was awesome. It was great to see all the guys again. I retired from the NBA in 05, so I went 4 or 5 years without seeing any of my old buddies or guys that I used to play against. So it was great to be there and to see everybody and to be part of that group.
But
you know, having so much confidence when you played at Duke and in the NBA, and then all of a sudden you're around the Dream Team guys. Can you be Christian Laettner around those guys? Or did you have to, you know, kind of suppress your ego a little bit?
They allowed me to be Christian Laettner, but at the same time, they wanted me to know and to be and to act like a rookie. And that's what I did. And that's why in the past I've said it would have been harder for Shaq or Alonzo Mourning to be on that team, because maybe you got to throw the ball to Shaq a little more. And maybe Shaq doesn't accept his role as willingly as I did. I was a very good rookie. I knew my role. I loved the fact that when the media walked in, no one came to me and wanted to talk to me. And after practice, I would just go pick up the balls and put them in the racks and pick up everyone's dirty towel and get ready for the next practice. So it was a great environment. I loved every second of it. As you know, Dan, we had a lot of success my junior and senior year at Duke. But if you had to ask me what was my favorite year at Duke, I would say my freshman year. And I loved every second of playing in the NBA, but if you had asked me my favorite year, I would say my rookie year. Even though we lost a lot of games my rookie year with the Timberwolves. Like a lot of people, I prefer things that are brand new, things that are over my head, things where I'm just flying by the seat of my pants and I don't really know what I'm doing and I really can't control anything. So my favorite year at Duke was my freshman year, when there weren't that many expectations put on my shoulders. Or I loved every second of the Dream Team because I didn't have to score 20 points for us to win. So having no expectations is a time that I love.
Talking to Christian Laettner, joining us on behalf of DraftKings Sportsbook. It's available. No sweat bet. Any college basketball game between now and Sunday, you can opt in, apply the no sweat token. And if the bet loses, you still get a bonus bet back. But when you look at Jordan up close, when you're watching him with the Dream Team, it felt like that was the coming out party where Larry and Magic had already passed the baton to Mike, and he was the best player in the game and dominating probably those pickup games. What was your first impression when you see Jordan or you're trying to guard him?
My first impression of Jordan and my lasting impression of Jordan is how much effort he put forth on the defensive end. People don't talk about that enough. You know, you get on Facebook and it shows his dunks and his offensive plays, but you got to remember, I think he was first team, all defensive team, what, 8, 10, 12 years? I mean, people don't stress that enough. I coach basketball nowadays, Dan, with middle school and high school players, and I don't have time on the court to teach the kids defense enough. You're only practicing with them once or twice a week, and you got to work on offensive stuff. And if you don't let them shoot three-pointers, they cry. And if you don't let them do the stupid Euro step, you know, they complain and all this stuff. Well, how about some defensive drills and some defensive work? And Michael Jordan was the greatest defender also. And look at the effort Kobe Bryant put forth on the defensive end. And that's where the differences are made. The small little things in the game that make a huge difference, playing defense hard, playing defense the right way.
But are you coaching, are you channeling Mike Krzyzewski when you're coaching these middle school kids?
I am, and usually it's when I get a little too intense and a little too passionate and maybe raise my tone of voice a little bit too much, because that's what made us good at Duke, or great at Duke, was the intensity and the passion that Coach K had every second. And that's what I loved about him so much. When I find myself being patient and I find myself not losing my patience and losing my temper a little bit, then I'm more like my father. My father coached grammar school kids such a patient man. I love the way my dad coached, but it also feels good to get intense and to get passionate about the game out there and maybe raise your tone of voice a little bit and tell these kids, we got to play harder. We got to play better. We got to play some freaking defense.
You hit a 15-foot turnaround jumper on this day, giving Duke the overtime win over Kentucky. 10 for 10 from the floor, 10 for 10 from the line, 31 points. Anything else from that game that we may not know? Because we certainly have dissected that over the years, over the decades.
No, I don't think, you know, anything's not been spoken about.
Was there any chance you weren't getting the ball on that inbounds pass?
There was a chance. I think Coach K said something like, if Christian's not open, throw it to the sideline to Thomas Hill or Bobby Hurley. You would have to ask Grant because he's the one that had the ball in his hands. He was the quarterback at that time. He's the one making the ultimate decision. So you would have to ask Grant that question.
And that was a harder play, though, than you just getting a 15-foot jumper.
Well, every play on the basketball court is difficult, especially during March Madness, especially against Kentucky when you're down 1 point and there's 2.1 seconds left and there's a lot of pressure and you don't want to lose and the Duke family and the Duke fans are going to cry and, I mean, everything will be over. My career at Duke would be over, so there's a lot of pressure. But that's why you go to Duke. That's why you play in all those. That's why you play in all those big games against NC State, against Carolina. You go down to Clemson where they're trying to kill you and they're throwing heated up quarters at you. You know, from the stands, and you just
wait. They're kinda heating up coins and throwing those at you at Clemson.
I swear, when I was at Clemson, I got hit with a penny or a nickel, and it seemed like it was warm, Dan. I'll tell you that, but. You know, you get used to it. You get used to that pressure, and it's such a great feeling, and it's such a great thing to still be able to perform under all that pressure, and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, you embraced it, and you embraced being a villain, too.
I embraced playing for Duke. I embraced playing for a great program that had a support staff and a family and a fan base.
But you had to like being hated, because that means you're really good or great.
No, I liked representing Duke. And when you're Duke basketball and you're winning a lot of your games and every place you go, it might be the biggest game of their season and they're going to give you your best shot. And you know it's hardening you. You know it's making you a better player. That's the thing that I loved.
What about expanding the tournament? There's been talk of that. Where do you stand on that?
No. They got to, you know, everyone says the horse is out of the barn, and I'm here to tell you that everything's going wrong. NIL, take it away. Transfer portal, take it away. Expanding the stupid tournament, take it away. You have to make it feel special. You have to make people earn their spot to get in the tournament. I know everything is about money, and money makes the world go round. Everything they're doing is wrong. The NIL is bad. Take it away. The transfer portal, bad. Take it away.
Yeah, but they can. It's already done, Christian. Now we have to adapt to it. Like, that's the problem with it. Grown-ups allowed this to happen. Would you have asked for NIL money at Duke?
No, even though everyone says, boy, Christian, you would have made a lot of money if NIL was going when you were there. That's what the NBA is for. That's why there's guys in the NBA making $50 million a year. That's what you train and work hard for, and the payoff comes at the end.
What do people say to you when they see you outside of where you live, like in an airport? What do people say to you normally?
Nowadays, they say, can I take a picture with you?
Okay.
and a lot of them say, I love you. And a lot of them say, I hated you, but can I still take a selfie with you?
You're a coach, man. I can't imagine that. By the way, Bobby Hurley is in the Polish Hall of Fame as well.
Yes, he should be. And Bobby's a coach, and his brother Danny's a coach. And how good is that Hurley family at coaching? You know, I love watching UConn play. They're an incredible team, but they don't play pickup playground basketball. They slow down when they need to. They pass ahead when they need to. I love the way UConn plays.
I do too. It's old school. I mean, it's just they're not dependent on the three. Do you think Coach K would have let you guys let it fly from three-point range?
He would have let certain people who could shoot the three-pointer shoot the three-pointer. I mean, you have to be able to prove yourself in practice. And if you're making them in practice and the coaches turn to Coach K and say, man, Leitner can shoot the three, we should let him shoot the three. Every decision Coach K made was you had to prove it in practice. So I think that's what he would have done.
I asked Coach K who had more range, Caitlin Clark or J.J. Redick. Who do you think he said?
Caitlin Clark.
No, he said J.J. Redick. I go, no way. But he didn't take deep threes. Caitlin takes deep threes.
Yeah, you know, the logo three wasn't a thing when J.J. was in school, but I've seen Dennis Scott hit half-court shots like he shot his free throw. He would go out in Cameron, you know, before the game in warm-ups, and our fans would be freaking cheering for Dennis Scott. And I was like, what the heck's going on? But he was out there putting on a circus show and shooting half-court shots like you and I would shoot our free throw.
But then was Kenny Anderson still there?
Kenny Anderson was there a year or two later. Kenny Anderson's one of the greatest point guards that I've ever played against, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's great to talk to you. Hope you're doing well. Don't get kicked out of any games. Don't, you know, have something go viral, you know, where you're yelling at a seventh grader, okay?
I've coached about 100 games, Dan, and I've gotten kicked out of one.
What did you do to get kicked out? Did you argue a call?
I might have said the F word to the ref. And they kicked me out, but luckily it didn't go on YouTube. It didn't go viral, so I got away with it.
If it did, Coach K would call you.
He might, and he would say, you're doing good. One out of 110.
Good to visit with you. Thanks for joining us, Christian.
Okay, Dan. Thanks
a lot. Hall of Fame. We're going to get you in.
Thank you.
Christian Leitner, two-time champ at Duke and part of the Dream Team. By the way, joining us on behalf of DraftKings Sportsbook, and they have the No Sweat Bet, any college basketball game between now and Sunday, the No Sweat Token, and if the bet loses, you still get a bonus bet back.
Polish Hall of Fame is elite, though.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Okay, yeah, Paulie.
And you only have to be half Polish. Mike Krzyzewski, obviously in. Christian Leitner, half Polish. Bobby Hurley, half Polish. Mike Jaminski, first ballot.
Ooh, G-man.
Yeah, and there's Kelly Trepiuka, Dan.
Ooh.
You love him.
Yes, I do.
It's just amongst the luminaries.
Yeah. Except for when Kelly went to the perm, when he went to his afro. That wasn't a good look there.
Each their own.
Yeah. Take a break. Phone call's coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.